Happy Friday, Plant City. I'm Justin Klein, she's Brianne Williams, and we'd like to welcome you back once again to the 6 Feet Apart cast. As you know, the Plant City Observer is bringing you the latest on all things COVID-19 around our area week after week. So let's kick this thing off with the latest from the EPG meetings. Bree, you're up.
Okay, well, we have a special guest today, so I am not going to spend the majority of our time talking about the updates because we want to really dive into a conversation with her. So I'm going to give a really quick overview. The curfew, ladies and gentlemen, is gone. Members of the EPG realized it was causing more confusion than it was helping, so they rescinded it yesterday. The safer at home 24-hour policy is still in place. There's still no large gatherings. There's still the 6 feet apart rule. So if law enforcement sees something or if they hear something, they can still get involved as normal, but that curfew itself is gone. But do you know what else happened in the EPG meeting yesterday? Our elected officials that make up that board shared some of the responses that they received in response to the curfew from the public. And listen, I am a journalist, so because of that, I work very hard not to ever allow any personal beliefs or opinions to bleed into the way I track down and analyze and report news. But one thing I will always stick to is that the belief in the fight for human rights or the belief in the support of a universal basic human decency is never a biased stance. So if you disagree with that, my email is online. You're more than welcome to send me your complaints. But Les Miller, for those of you who are unaware of who he is the only African-American on the EPG board. Miller had a moment yesterday where he got a little emotional while sharing his responses because several people, and he did not say how many, responded to Miller's encouragement of the curfew earlier this week with with injudicious emails filled with the moronic, half-brained ramblings of imbeciles. Instead of voicing their objection to the curfew in a normal manner, they decided to call that man the N-word, and they called him a Nazi, along with a variety of other things he did not share with the group. And if you disagree with someone, there is a way to do that. There are people on the board that disagreed with him, and they did it correctly. Miller and, might I add, four other members that voted earlier this week to approve the curfew, they said that they did so because they were basing their choice off of a fear of a resurgence of positive cases due to the reckless actions of those in the community that were disregarding the law and holding large gatherings. Others in that group, including Plant City Mayor Rick Lott, said that they were against the curfew, but they did so civilly. And yesterday, they all praised Miller for his passion for protecting the community and said their decision was never against him as a person, that they completely understood where he was coming from, but that they feared that confusion would follow. Ultimately, yesterday, everyone on the EPG agreed and the curfew was rescinded. Personally, it is my hope that someone, and to be frank, I have half a mind to do it myself, despite the fact that it's a little bit outside of our typical coverage range. I want someone to public records request those emails. I want them to comb through them and find those who are cowardly enough to write such unacceptable language and put those emails and their senders on blast. Legally, you're allowed to do that. I would love to point out that while you do have free speech in this country, and it is one of the greatest attributes of America, you also then have to face the consequences of your actions. So that's a rant from me. I'm going to drop it now and move on, but I feel like it needed to be said because that was one of the most appalling moments I have ever had to sit through when it came to a government meeting. We're all stressed out right now, but that is not the way to channel your fear and frustration. So do better, be better. And God help you if you are one of the people that wrote those emails, because I am a strong believer in karma. So good luck with that. But if you are wanting to play a part in helping the county see how best to work toward fighting COVID-19, there is now a way for the public to give some productive input. USF researchers have recently, I think it went out Tuesday night, they launched a website to get a better grasp on where COVID-19 is in our community. And the way that they're doing it is through a community survey. So if you have symptoms that you fear indicate you may have COVID-19, you go to this link, you answer questions about your symptoms and your exposures, and using geolocation through the zip code you put in, it will form a heat map. And all the users are anonymous, and at the end, they're given resources should they want more information about COVID-19. But This will allow our officials to know where they need to target the resources for testing. We are linking the survey to the write-up for the podcast, for this podcast episode. So if you want the link, it's right there and you can click on it. That's going to be a really big step, especially once things start to die down, because we know it's going to linger in certain areas. And if we can kind of figure out where those are, we can put all of our resources in that direction. So that's great. And then there was also a discussion on whether or not to mandate mask wearing in public in the county. And after a very long, in-depth look at the data of cases in the county, it caused most of the EPG members to step back and say now wasn't the time to put that in place. So right now, they're still heavily recommending it, but they are not yet requiring it. But they did kind of leave it open to where one day, if there's a spike in contagions, they may come back and have this discussion again. So that's a really quick update on where we're at for the board, and they meet again Monday, 1:30 p.m.
One thing that makes me curious about the Les Miller situation is a lot of people who seem to be really angry about, you know, the safer home orders across the country, curfews, things like that. A lot of people are saying it's a violation of their constitutional rights, but I've never seen anyone cite a specific constitutional right that is being violated and how it is being violated. So I'm kind of curious to hear people's thoughts on exactly what is going on, rather than just, oh, they're violating our rights. Because if they really are violating your rights, you can take them to court. But there's a chance they might not be. So something to keep in mind.
Yeah, that chance is definitely high, because they're definitely not. So
yeah. Yeah. Anyway, we are going to move on now to the talk of the town. We went on Facebook earlier this week and asked y'all about the biggest changes you've had to make in your day-to-day lives since March, when the pandemic changed everything for all of us, and now we're where we are. Here's what some of you had to say, and I apologize in advance if I mess your name up, because I'm not always good at the pronunciation thing. First up, Natalie Wright said, "I miss being able to go to church and seeing my church family, going to see my grandkids, and being able to find medical supplies I need." Lindsay Plyler Blankenbaker said her biggest change was not spending time with our family in the area. It's heartbreaking. Susan Fairchild Gray said, "Working from home while trying to homeschool my granddaughter is very difficult." Bruce C. Hildreth, "Canceled trip to Colorado to see my grandson when he was born." That's tough, man. I feel for you. And last but not least, my personal favorite of the bunch, Eric Joyner, in all caps with 4 exclamation points, said, "No hole-in-one donuts." I miss those breakfast sandwiches too, trust me. Well, if anybody knows a thing or two about completely changing their lives right now, it's our local business owners. Many of our merchants have completely changed the way they operate, and Plant City Main Street is still working hard to rally the troops, if you will, and make sure as many downtown businesses as possible can get through this. So, milestone for the show today, we have the very first special guest in 6 Feet of Podcast history, Main Street's own Geraldine Rumbarger. He's on the show today to talk to us about what Main Street's doing right now, when everything's weird and we're all trying to make sure our businesses stay alive. Geraldine, how are you today?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me on the show. I'm super honored to be the first person as a special guest on this podcast.
Glad to have you. Okay, so you've been pretty busy. We've talked a little bit before this. You had a few meetings to get through this week. You guys have made some moves. What's going on with Main Street?
Yeah, we're slowly working on some projects for our downtown and for our community too. Right now, our mindset is to work towards unifying the downtown district with the members of our community through some art projects. So that's really what we've kind of been focusing on throughout the course of the last 2 weeks, is how we can bring that sense of unity and community during this unprecedented time.
Okay, so what are you guys working on right now with Main Street? What is, if it's not 100% done yet, it's like super close and you're free to talk about it.
So one of my favorite projects that has not been derailed through this COVID-19 pandemic is our downtown banner project. So this is something that we started working on back in January in partnership with the Plant City Arts Council. We're redesigning the banners that currently line the streets downtown while also adding an additional 20 to 30 new banners, hopefully, to the existing ones. We've coordinated the placement of the new ones. We've updated our plotting map to show where the banners are at and where the new banners are going to be located. And now we're just waiting for our design team to come back with some ideas, come to an agreement on what those new banners will look like, get them printed, and then hopefully get them installed here in the near future.
Cool. Okay. We know that there have been a lot of new businesses slated to come open up this year. Everstreet's been a hot topic. There's a few, but with the COVID stuff going on, obviously that made anyone opening their business or even doing business a little bit harder. So about these new businesses that were supposed to be coming this year, or maybe they are still coming, have you heard anything about that? What's the word?
Yeah, so I've been in communication with the business owners that have been seeking locations downtown, and we have a few that had their eyes set on the Everstreet district, and so far, from what I understand, is everybody's still on track. Contracts have been signed, leases have been signed. The construction industry has not been affected too much by the COVID-19, so I know that they're still working with some of their design guys and some of their construction guys, and from what I understand, the businesses that are still currently on track to open up later this year are the Tipsy Bookworm, which is going to be a used bookstore that's also going to sell beer and wine. Three Hands Mead Company, they're like a honey-based wine beer business. They're going to brew some stuff from their location. And then the other confirmed business for downtown is Crumbles and Cream Bakery. So that's going to be a huge asset to our downtown district to have a bakery downtown along with the other two.
For the record, I would like to say that Everstreet is probably going to be the best smelling street, block, whatever, in all of Plant City if all this goes to plan. And yeah. I can't wait.
I agree.
Cool. So this is obviously creating a lot of stress on everybody, but business owners as well downtown that are just trying to get by. Not everybody was, I guess, in a field where they had no worries about whether they'd be able to go or not during a pandemic. Obviously, a lot of business owners have a lot of questions dealing with a lot of mental health stuff right now. So what is the morale like around downtown? How are merchants feeling?
I mean, I have honestly, even during this trying times, have had nothing but positive feedback from our downtown merchants. They're so optimistic. They have so much faith in Main Street and our city leaders and everything that we've done to support them thus far with email exchanges, communications on the CARES Act information. And I took the time last week to really reach out to the business owners themselves. I'm such a huge advocate on mental health and mindfulness and being intentional, and I really just wanted to take a moment to just check on them. You know, it is about their business and making money, but this is also something that nobody was able to prepare for, especially mentally. And you know, we're all going to have our good days and our bad days, and at the end of the day, it's okay to just not be okay. And you know, I've always had an open door policy throughout the course of my life, and I just wanted to extend that olive branch to them to let them know, you know, even if they just need an easy conversation or some more direction or get more clarity on things that are happening on the day-to-day business basis, that door was open for them, and the optimism is there, and I know that we're going to come out so much stronger of a community in downtown district once we get through this.
Right on. Okay, and is there anything in the works right now that might not be 100% done, anything like that, but you can share a little bit of info with us, even if nothing's finalized?
Yeah, for sure. One of the projects that our design committee is working on is similar to the Lakeland Tapestry project. We are hoping to work with local artists to bring some more color and vibrancy to downtown that is temporary. And so we have these temporary art inspiration ideas that we're working on. We're hoping to add 20 to 25 tapestries to our downtown district. So that's something that we're still in the works on. Something that could hopefully come to fruition a little bit sooner than that is a chalk art project, which again is a temporary art project that we would like to incorporate into downtown foot traffic and vehicular traffic which would just kind of hashtag Plant City Strong, which is something that's been utilized on social media through our city leaders and some other channels. And so that's hopefully something that we will be able to share with you guys soon, too.
So if all this goes according to plan, how would local artists sign up for this, I guess, or just get on board to do it?
We will do a call to artists when the time comes. We are using a gentleman over in Lakeland who did the tapestry project out there, David Collins. He's going to be our consultant. He's done the project before. He's going to shed some light on some of the errors that he made and things that he would have done differently. But there will be a call to artists for the local artists to be able to get involved.
Awesome. Okay, Bree, you got any questions for Geraldine?
Yeah, I kind of wanted to circle back, if you don't mind, to the mental health thing. That's something that we talked a little bit about last podcast, and Mayor Rick Lott has really voiced the same concerns you have. Do you have any tips, any things that you do in your own personal life, obviously not related to businesses per se, but just to kind of stay positive as much as we can while doing so healthily? Do you have any advice?
I usually turn to social media for those types of things. I don't know if everybody is familiar with the five love languages, but again, that's something that I advocate all the time. And it really kind of changed my life when I realized what my love language is, which is words of affirmation for me. And so for me personally, and again, everybody's different, but I really turn to some of the Instagram accounts or the Facebook accounts that focus on mental health, self-love, being intentional. Those work for me, because a good quote can completely change my mindset, because that's my love language. Some people, you know, if your love language is quality time right now, and you know you can't be in contact with your loved ones or whatnot, you know, doing a quick FaceTime and maybe just having an easy conversation would be something that kind of eases your mind. A walk outside for 5 or 10 minutes, you know, if you're frustrated in the moment, getting out of the office or the house and just doing a quick walk could change your mindset. We have a couple yoga studios here in town, Koa Yoga and then Plant City Yoga, that have been doing some virtual yoga sessions. And I have found that that's been a huge stress relief for me. And they're both actually Main Street members. So that's an even added benefit that I can still support them even during these trying times.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Okay, and before we move on, is there anything you'd like to share with us? Wow, you still got a little bit of airtime.
Yeah, just a few more things that I had kind of on my notes to share with you guys before I forget. Two of our Main Street members, Grits and Berries and Key Aesthetics, for the past few weeks have been making the handmade face masks for our nurses and our first responders here locally, specifically in Plant City. They're doing this pro bono. They both have sewing skills that I, during these times, wish that I had, because I would love to be able to give back in the capacity that they are. And so I know that they're asking for donations to be able to help fund the opportunity to make more of these masks, whether it be through cash donations or material donations. I happen to have some elastic in my craft closet that I have never used, and they've probably been sitting there for the last 5 years, that I was able to donate some fabric from when I thought that I was going to learn how to sew, and then I realized it's way harder than it looks. So any type of donation, I know that they would be extremely grateful to receive, and you can reach out to them on their social media pages. Again, that was Grits and Berries and Key Aesthetics. Again, two Main Street members who are just doing their best to be able to give back to the community during these times. And then the last thing that I just wanted to touch base on is, although we can't visit our downtown and enjoy our downtown the way we once could, there's still ways to support these downtown merchants. Not everybody has had to close their doors, and the ones that have not had to close their doors have really adapted in the best way possible to, you know, continue doing business, continuing to spread the love that they have for the Plant City community. And there's just a few ways that everybody can still support these downtown businesses, and then all the other small businesses within Plant City. You know, I hyper focus on downtown, but we have so many small businesses throughout our entire community. And a few ways that you can help is shop online. Some of these businesses that never had online stores have now reverted to online stores. So check them out. See if there's anything that, you know, you could want or need and help support them. You could do online to-go orders, over-the-phone orders. I know a lot of businesses, especially our restaurants, have reverted to to-go orders, curbside, online orders, to where you can still support them, enjoy a nice meal in the comfort of your home while, you know, being mindful of social distancing. You could buy a gift card, even if you can't use it right now, you can use it once they reopen. And then another thing that I've always been a huge advocate for is, you know, leaving them a review on social media, because that's going to help their online presence later on, or sharing a post. You know, they're doing daily specials, you know, they're sharing their day-to-day routine with everybody too. I mean, these businesses are extremely vulnerable during these times. So if the least you can do is share a social media post, I know that they will have so much appreciation for the support in that capacity too.
I, for one, am extremely glad that Crazy Cup is still open, because if I didn't have that coffee all the time, I would probably die.
I would die, for sure.
I feel like I live off of Crazy Cup, and I would be totally fine just taking an IV bag and just living off of that day to day, as long as it had some caffeine in it.
That makes three of us. All right. Well, thanks for your time, Gerilyn. Really appreciate having you on the show today to talk to us.
Yeah, of course. Thanks so much for having me.
Right on. Okay, so we're going to move on to the Introvert's Guide to Self-Isolation. We've been doing stuff in our homes to keep us from getting bored to death, and hopefully some of these things that we're doing will help keep you from getting bored to death. So we're here to share. I will go first. Have you noticed how many animals have been, like, out and about lately, since everyone's kind of going inside more? I feel like in my neighborhood anyway, there has been a big stray cat community for several years now. But lately, every time I go out, I see like two or three of them at once. I'm just going out to check my mail or whatever, or, you know, go to and from picking up food, and there's always a bunch of them. They're staring at me. I feel like I hear more birds chirping, or maybe I'm just going crazy or something like that. But it seems like now that we're all kind of going inside more, the animals are coming out. And, you know, the air is a little bit cleaner because so many people are driving, stuff like that. Whether you're, you know, trying to get a nice little nature scene, look at the wildlife out there, bird watch maybe, or just go out for a walk. This is a really good time to enjoy nature. I've been, you know, taking some walks at some of the local parks. I walked Samuel Cooper not too long ago. I walked Brewer Park not too long ago. It's really nice. I think this is a great time to take advantage of parks and get out there, get some fresh air, keep yourself from going a little too stir crazy. And hopefully you're all staying away from those cats as I am, because apparently they can get coronavirus now. I don't know how common that is, but I have heard a few things about it, and I am now just going to be extra vigilant whenever I see these strays out there. I don't know about the ones in your neighborhood, Bree, but in mine, they can be a little bit aggressive. There is one cat in particular. I don't think he's a stray, but he's been there for a few years now. I like to call him Charles Oakley after the 1990s basketball enforcer, because every time somebody comes in his territory, up in his post, I always hear him fighting, get him out there, and then I look outside my window, and then boom, there's only one cat. It's Charles Oakley. He's still standing. He can fight. I would not mess with that cat. And if he gets coronavirus, I'm going to be really scared to go outside, because I think he could probably beat me up. So I don't know if you've noticed an uptick in wildlife out there. I know you live behind, in front of little wooded area. You got a really nice pond out there. Have you seen anything like that?
There's been more of the smaller wildlife. I haven't seen anything, you know, super big come through, but a lot more snakes and stuff. But that, you know, we live right in front of the woods, so that's been it. But our cats kind of keep a distance, because when I'm outside, I'm normally walking the dog, and she is as aggressive as a wiener dog can be, so.
A weagle.
A weagle, yeah. Part beagle, part dachshund, all fury.
But yeah, now's a really good time to hit all those walking trails, especially if you're like me and you've been getting your butt handed to you on Xbox Live by preteens who have way more time to play video games than you do on a regular basis. I lose in FIFA or Madden or Rocket League or whatever. I get a little salty. I'm not going to lie. I got to go clear my head. And these kids are like 12, 13 years old. They're talking trash, and they're also scoring like 5 goals on me per game. And I can't do it. I'm not what I used to be. But I can at least give myself some peace of mind, and that's okay. Okay, Bree, what about you? What do you want to talk about?
I've got two really quick ones. One, this is a podcast, and some of the comments we've been receiving, at least, you know, via my email and a few messages to our Facebook page, is this is the first time a lot of people tuning in have listened to a podcast. But if you like podcasts or you're wanting to get into them more, it can seem really daunting. There are currently more than, 54 million podcast episodes that are split up between around 800,000 active podcasts worldwide. So where do you even start?
This is getting so meta right now.
Yeah, like where do you even start with that number, you know? And so luckily, there are three local guys who have done all the work for you. There's a Plant City-based podcast called the Podcast Discovery Show. We've written about it before. They discuss podcasts, both really popular ones, but more often than not, ones that you've probably never heard of. And they listen to them, they analyze them, and then they review them. So they cover all ranges of genres, so there's a guarantee they'll discuss something you like. And the Podcast Discovery Show also has a Facebook group where those listeners and the host all interact and talk about new things to discover. So it's a great group to plug into because there's no better time to start discovering things than when we're literally trapped inside. They're really great guys. I loved getting to know them more, and they're really passionate about podcasts. So they want to find ones that will make people fall in love with podcasts. So I recommend it. Go check them out. And once you love one, you're never going to look back. Podcasts will become a part of your daily routine before you know it. I was surprised at how reliant I've become on them. And also, something I am personally very thrilled about, and I may be very late to the game, but when I went on social media and did some digging, there were a lot of other people that were massive nerds that did not know about it either. So sticking my guns here. I recently stumbled upon a site that has been up and running for a few years called Hogwarts Is Here. So it was built by massive Harry Potter fans that were looking for something to do within that world. And so you can enter this website, and it's a fan-based world. You literally take Hogwarts classes, whether it's Defense Against the Dark Arts or Charms or whatever, and they have exams, and you can play Quidditch, and you can step through this world in a way that a lot of the other Harry Potter-themed games don't allow you to, because you don't have to be a student in this one. You can be a house ghost or an auror, or I mean, there's several other roles you can choose from, and it's really awesome and a creative way to kill a lot of free time. I found it just a few nights ago, and I'm not saying I didn't sleep at all that night, but I did drink two pots of coffee the next day, so I'm just going to leave it at that. Hogwarts Is Here. It's awesome. If you're a Harry Potter fan, go check it out immediately.
I was on Reddit not too long ago, and somebody was making a big deal about having a wedding, and she sorted all of her guests into houses based on their personalities, and this apparently caused a riot because whenever all the Slytherins found out they were Slytherins, they decided that was an offense against them because the Slytherins are the bad guys. But is this true? Are the Slytherins really the bad guys? Are they bad people?
No. No. I am a Slytherin. As a group, we have a bad reputation. They're not bad guys. They are portrayed as ambitious and cunning and clever and loyal, but in a way that is different from, say, a Gryffindor. There are a lot of really great people that came out of Slytherin in the canon, you know, of that world. So I would have been honored to have been sorted into that house. To me, being labeled a Hufflepuff is the true disgrace. So there would have been a riot had I been put in that table at the wedding.
Now, why is being labeled a Hufflepuff a true disgrace? I'm not a Hufflepuff. When I took the thing on BuzzFeed that you guys told me to like 2 years ago, I got Ravenclaw every time I did it. So that's what I'm sticking with. But what's the problem with Hufflepuff? They just seem like nice people.
They're lovely. They're swell. I don't feel like my personality fits with that group at all. So I'm much happier to put the green tie on and go about my life. We actually did a Harry Potter Halloween once, and we built a chamber of secrets essentially in our apartment when I was back in college. So my roommate and I, who was very crafty, built this whole thing, and we dressed up like wizards and had wizard-themed food. It was awesome. So if Gerilyn's a Hufflepuff, I apologize, and I love you. So I take it back entirely if that's the group she is in.
I don't know. We might have to give her a test after this show, see what she comes up as, unless she already knows. Anyway, we're going to wrap things up with our final segment. Look for the helpers, like that Mr. Rogers quote that a lot of you are probably familiar with. We want to talk about the things that we've seen lately that put a smile on our face and make us feel better because, well, everything's weird right now. There's a lot of strange, stressful emotions. So it's good to look at the positive things. I believe that's a good mental health practice. So this is what we try to do. And once again, as I do every time before we launch into our examples, I'd like to ask all of you listeners out there, whoever you may be, to please keep us in the loop with positive news and uplifting stories so that we can highlight them here and maybe one of us will even write about it in the paper and everybody's happy, I hope. Whatever. Anyway, so Bree, how about you go first? What put a smile on your face this week?
Okay, for me, I'm going to use this moment to give a really quick shout out to our local faith-based institution. So we recently had Passover and Easter, and our organizations locally really stepped up and were safe, and they put their congregation's well-being first. So on Easter Sunday, for example, my roommate, aka my dachshund, Daisy.
Weagle.
She, right. She and I got some coffee. Well, the coffee was for me, the pup cup was for her, and we drove around to kind of see how people were worshiping and what was going on. And there were several drive-through churches, the one where you show up in your car and you don't really stop for very long. You get some, you know, get your quick message and they pray over you and you move on. Then there were several that were live streaming to their congregation at home, so no one was actually at the building other than, you know, the pastor and his crew to stream. And then there were several that did drive-up churches, which is where they had a pastor and in some instances a worship band on a stage out in the parking lot, and everyone else pulled up and parked their cars and then stayed in the car, kind of like a drive-in movie theater, if you will. Hmm. One thing that was really cool was City Point. Pastor Scott McIntosh, he was preaching from the front steps to his parked members, and then at the end, he surprised them all by giving each of them an envelope that had a $100 bill in it, and well, every car got that, and he told that car and everybody inside of it to bless someone else in need with that money. So he's already heard back from people who were buying groceries for their neighbors or getting food for people behind them in line that was maybe getting some takeout or something. And it's been a really great way for our pastors to meet the spiritual needs of their congregation while still being very safe, and I commend everyone who has been doing so.
That's awesome. Okay, so I want to give a shout out to all the Hillsborough County Public School folk out there who have been helping with the Grab and Go program. We wrote a story about it this week. It ran on the cover, and I think it jumped to page 5, maybe 10. I don't know, but we have a big story about it this week in the Observer. Ran yesterday, Thursday's paper. And so this is basically, for a lot of families, it is like a lifeline, if you will, so that the kids can get food. You go, you get 2 meals a day. Well, okay, when it started, you got 2 meals a day. You can go 5 days a week, breakfast and lunch, all for the kids and stuff. Now they've changed it so that you only go 1 day a week, Wednesday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. You get enough meals, sets of meals, I should say, for a full week so that you can go back the next Wednesday, and then you should be freshly run up by then, so you haven't really missed much by the time you go and grab the next thing. That, in my opinion, having seen it in action myself and talked to some people, I think it created a logistical problem just having it on 1 day per week. And we've gotten some feedback in the past from our readers who were hoping to see a greater diversity of pickup times because they work, you know, they're single parents, they work jobs that have them in the office and they can't leave from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. So I don't know how moving the pickup time to just 1 day a week in the same hour block helps anyone accomplish much of anything besides keeping people safer, because you drastically reduce the risk of transmission by having it 1 day a week as opposed to 5. That's the only thing I think that's accomplished. However, I will say that from what I saw driving around watching the Grab and Go stuff in action on Wednesday, it didn't affect anyone's spirits. They were all serving people with smiles. They were talking to the families they know, checking on the kids, stuff like that. The people who are on the ground right now, passing these meals out, interacting with all the families, doing all that work, are staying 100% positive through this. They believe in the program. They know the importance of what they're doing, and they are not taking this lightly. And for that, I think they deserve a whole lot of credit, a huge shout out, because they are making a lot of people's lives a little bit easier, and a little gesture like that can go a long way. So shout out to all you HCPS people out there. We appreciate you. On that note, we'd like to thank everybody for tuning in this week. Be sure to keep your eyes and ears open for next Friday's podcast, because we are going to have our second ever guest in show history. Some of you readers out there remember the cover story we wrote a few weeks ago about the United Food Bank of Plant City. Well, UFB Director Mary Hasek is going to join us as we follow up on that story and talk about what it's been like to give people a hand up these past few weeks. In the meantime, you stay safe out there, Plant City.